going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Seth, you were talking about, hey, what's the best way to watch the draft? You were asking that question earlier to me. Yeah. I admittedly haven't watched it the last couple of years. Well, I watched it last year, the first round, because the party was in the second day. Anyways, I don't know which outlet this is that is guilty of this more. I'm guessing ESPN. But a listener says, watch the one where the insiders aren't calling the pick before the commissioner announces the pick.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I don't like picks getting spoiled. I like to hear it from my guy, Raji Legs, man, Roger Goodell. You know, like I like
it is. I like to just be able to, okay, oh no, I'm 3 minutes behind. What's happening in real time?
Yeah.
All right. If I try too hard to follow it in real time, then everything just gets all screwed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first round, it's nice because there's a lot of time between picks. There's almost no way to consume it in the second rounds and later where you aren't almost trying to catch up each time they come back for commercial and everything. But that's where I got to just try to pace out the information. So is ESPN, I feel like they do because Adam Schefter will break stuff beforehand.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter always wants his... Yeah, listeners, let us know which broadcaster do the best of just like keeping it by, all right, they don't put it on the screen until the commissioner announces
it. Right, right, right. Yeah, let us know on that. The worst was Adrian Wojnarowski when he was still with ESPN. He'd be tweeting out picks like literally two picks before they got announced on TV. And I'm like, man, some people like to be able to have Twitter open during the draft but not have all the picks spoiled, you know?
I wonder what it's like with him... it was Adrian Wojnarowski for the NFL picks?
No. I'm saying in the NBA.
I'm saying as far as an insider ruining a draft
for you. Yeah, yeah.
Like he's the GM at St. Bonaventure University right now. It's his alma mater. I wonder, it's probably the NBA draft time of year is probably super annoying for him. Because I'm guessing people around St. Bonaventure are just constantly pestering him for information.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's like, hey, I'm a businessman now.
Yeah, I'm trying to get NIL money for our Atlantic 10 basketball program, all right?
He should keep tweeting out nuggets when he gets them just because that's extra appeal for recruits and everything.
Oh, hell yeah. I got an insider.
Or alumni that want to be in on the, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, buy your way into my inner circle.
That's right.
Maybe he does do that. Maybe he's got, like, there's a special... Once you've donated a few hundred thousand dollars in NIL, Adrian Wojnarowski will group text you some of the tidbits he's getting.
You're like a premium insider's subscription club kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we know and the audience knows that putting hexes on things is part of the fabric of this show. An important part of the fabric, mostly confined to postseason baseball, but we're not afraid to shoot lightning out of our hands at other things if requested, right?
It's been alarmingly successful, too, to the point where I have kind of stared at my hands sometimes in shock afterwards, like, what have I wrought? What power do these hands possess?
One of my favorite still shots. Anybody who's super powerful looking at their hands going, what have I done? What have I done? Chris in the ATL is a loyal listener to this show and to my podcast, the Utopia Football Podcast, and I do a mailbag every week, and he emailed in this question. If you could hex one AFC South one AFC South team's draft where their 2025 draft is completely effed with busts and off-field issues. Which team would it be? Colts, okay. Jags, or Titans?
This is hard because I feel like the consensus choice would be the Colts. That's where there's the most hatred amongst the Texans fan base for. But I feel like as long as they continue to show a complete inability to get the quarterback right, I don't have to worry about hexing
It'd be a waste of a hex on them.
Right, it's a waste of hex. Yeah. Chris Ballard, the GM, was hexed at birth with an inability to find a quarterback for the Colts.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody put a hex on him a long time ago.
That's right.
Isn't Sonny? You're never going to draft a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Andrew Luck, who will retire shortly afterwards.
Yeah, that's the biggest hex of all. Andrew Luck retiring, yes.
And I think he inherited Andrew Luck.
He did. Gregson drafted
I would
Luck.
Say, I think honestly, because the magnificent Gladstone, the brand new GM of the Jaguars, has been so annoying and yet entertaining. I want him to continue being entertaining. You got to remember, the magnificent Gladstone comes from the Rams, famous for the whole F them picks thing. Now, F them picks was inaccurate because the Rams had a boatload of mid-round picks, and they were really, really good at drafting well with their mid-round picks, and they were very good when they did have a first-round pick. They got guys like Aaron Donald and what have you. I think that I will put a hex on the Jaguars, and it very specifically will be that magnificent Gladstone trades out of the first round for a bunch of mid-round picks in 2026 and 2027.
Trades down for fifth out of the first
boatload,
round.
The value. This is the thing. The value will add up. It's going to be like 3 years worth of second, third, and fourth round picks. And yet, in his desire to be even smarter than the Rams, he's going to just go ahead and load up on where the real smart football GMs make their money is in the mid rounds.
I think you're laying out a scenario that I think even you yourself don't realize right now how hilarious it is. For this reason. The Jacksonville GM in the movie Draft Day.
No, I know.
Oh, okay. Did you say Draft Day?
I'm insulted that you think. I just watched that movie last week.
You didn't mention it now. So for those who haven't seen Draft Day, the GM of the Jags is some young whippersnapper like this, like the magnificent Gladstone, who traded the sixth overall pick for 3 second rounders.
Yes.
And was getting high-fived in the war room.
Yeah, he was getting high-fived. Everybody acted like, now, it was smart in that he did – okay, there's something up with this Bo Callahan character that I don't know what it is, but I don't know if I want it right now. The funny thing about that is that the trade value actually made sense, and yet it also felt like the GM would have been fired on the spot. I'll tell you what, you're the first-time GM. You just – I feel like you lose face if you show you don't have the gonads to make a pick in the first round.
Well, the funny thing was the way that Kevin Costner was like selling it to him as to why he should do that. Costner was the GM of the Browns who executed the trade with the Jags. Was like, you get a chance to sit back and relax and breathe a little bit. Can you imagine if the owner of the Jags walked in there and said, "Why? Can you just explain? Not angry, just explain. Why did we just do that? I needed to sit back and breathe a little bit."
Sean, do you know who admitted to that on Hard Knocks? Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, when he was insisting that nobody wanted Saquon Barkley last year.
Yeah.
And people in his organization are saying, like, I feel like there might be people that might want to trade for Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Shane said, I don't want to go through that again. That took years off my life. Yeah.
It's funny.
And he still has a job.
He still has a job, dude. It's funny. On my podcast, I said, man, it's really a dead heat for me between the Colts and the Jags. The Colts only because they're the closest team to the Texans in the division. And that would, you know, them messing up this draft would kind of push them to the back burner. You know, other than quarterback, it's a decent roster. Ultimately, I just want to screw with the magnificent Gladstone. But it was funny because people were like, how can it not be the Titans? We hate the Titans for so many reasons. How can it not be the Titans? And I said, I don't know. Kind of what you just said about the Colts, Seth. I'm like, I feel like the Titans can screw this up on their own even without a hex. I don't want to waste a hex on somebody who I think is going to screw this up already, you know?
The fun thing with the Titans would be that, and for one, if I felt more strongly about Cam Ward, then I might want to put more of a hex on it. But I think that, look, it's always a crapshoot, but there's a lot of things Cam Ward does really, really well. But He's not a, in any other draft, he wouldn't be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Or in many, many other drafts. So I think just by sheer probability, they're going to mess it up. You know, like they're going to take the guy who's the best quarterback in this draft this year, and yet it's not a slam dunk. So I guess the biggest thing with the Titans, I guess if they don't draft Cam Ward, though, and just throw all of their full support behind Will Levis, that would make me happy too.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
I do think I'm not going to fault them for drafting Cam Ward. It's just as it's been with the Texans at various times in their history, they've had the number one overall pick when the pickings at quarterback are slim, and the Titans, this is just kind of what the Titans should and will do. But yeah.
Can you imagine if there were a Vontae Mack no matter what situation tonight where everybody's expecting Cam Ward to go first, the same way they're expecting Bo Callahan to go first? And the GM of the Titans, who I think his last name is Borgonzi or something like that, that he who would that be? I guess it would probably be that Jaylon Walker from Georgia. He's probably like, you know, like a linebacker who should go like 12th overall, but he's a high character guy on a really good team. I saw this factoid about Jaylon Walker in somebody's notebook yesterday, either Rossini or Fowler or one of those guys or gals, where there are NFL teams. One of the questions that a lot of NFL teams will ask is, which of your teammates would you bring with you to the team that you got drafted by, right? Like, if you pick one teammate to bring with you to that team that you got drafted by, and what the scuttlebutt around the league was, literally every Georgia player said Jaylon Walker. Mm. Every Georgia player that got asked that said they would bring Jaylon Walker with them, which is a very Vontae Mack kind of thing, right?
You know?
That would be fun.
If only there were some rumors about his character concerns or something, and it turned out that, no, that was because Jaylon Walker actually was taking care of the homeless all night or something, so sometimes he was tired.
Did Jaylon Walker hand a football to his cancer-ridden sister in a game, you know? Remember
that's
that?
The part of draft day that I still can't get over. I was willing to suspend disbelief, but the fact that Vontae Mack had handed the ball to his sister who was dying of cancer, and he got ejected from the game because of it eventually, that the NFL at large didn't know about the full backstory.
That people in an NFL war room needed it to be explained to each other.
Yeah. That it was never even made mainstream in the public. And the better part of it, too, the really unrealistic part, and Drew Hodgson pointed this out to my old teammate, was like, this guy's got the worst agent in the history of football.
Oh, yeah.
How is Vontae Mack's agent not putting that out there to everybody?
Yeah.
He hasn't been asked about this at the combine or in meetings
point.
Or anything. Yeah,
I need you and Drew to do a podcast about draft day.
We did.
Oh, you
it's
did?
On my YouTube.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Okay. That's something to listen to on my walk today. I can't wait. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's circle back to the Astros. They got a win last night. First sweep of the season. Chandler Rome had an article about something. About Cam Smith, that it was already interesting with him in right field. This part gets super interesting about how the Astros might be using Cam Smith. We will get to that coming up next.